This is Fresh Air. It's that time when our critics look back at the year, and today our TV critic David Bianculli does just that. There's a lot to consider.
So much TV, so little time. A top 10 list no longer seems comprehensive, because even though I try, I simply can't see everything. Some shows I really, really liked, for example, are ones I didn't get to watch until after they premiered. Like the excellent Fleischman is in Trouble on Hulu with Claire Danes and Jesse Eisenberg. And Gerard Carmichael's very raw comedy special, Rathaniel, on HBO. And The English, Amazon's disturbingly original Western starring Emily Blunt. They're all well worth the time, if you can find the time and have the access to find those shows. I want to single out some other shows in this year in review, but first, I want to point out some larger trends and issues. After years of expansion during the pandemic, the TV universe is beginning to shrink a bit again. There have been major layoffs recently at CNN and AMC, and cutbacks at Netflix. There's a continued erosion of certain TV offerings from broadcast TV to streaming-only sites. A few football games and soap operas, once shown on broadcast television, for example, are now watchable only if you subscribe to Peacock or Amazon. But every game of this year's World Cup has been available to watch live, either on Fox or Fox Sports One, and I've been there for every one. And shown primarily by cable news networks, the January 6th House committee hearings was TV's most important miniseries of the year, and was covered in both daytime and primetime, drawing large audiences, informing the public, and arguably changing history. It was both a good and bad year for finales, as long-running shows tried to stick their landings by presenting satisfying endings. The worst of 2022 was AMC's finale of The Walking Dead, which was so eager to keep its franchise going that the final episode included promos for two coming Walking Dead spin-offs, featuring characters you then knew would survive the finale. BBC America's Killing Eve had a disappointing finale also, as did HBO's Westworld. But the Paramount Plus series The Good Fight had a good finale, FX's increasingly audacious and inventive Atlanta had a better one, and the best of the year, for me, was AMC's Better Call Saul. The last few episodes ended that series perfectly, with a final storyline that had Bob Odenkirk's Jimmy and Ray Seahorn's Kim confronted by their mutual con jobs and sins, and by one of their victims, Patrick Fabian as fellow attorney Howard. I'll only play part of that scene, but the rest of it floored me.
You're perfect for each other. You have a piece missing. I thought you did it for the money, but now it's so clear. Screw the money. You did it for fun. You get off on it. You're like Leopold and Loeb, two sociopaths.
All right, that's enough.
Oh, you know it's true. You just have the guts to admit it.
Great. Now you need to go.
I'm going to make it clear to everyone, because I'm going to dedicate my life to making sure that everybody knows the truth. Believe it. You can't hide who you really are forever.
Three of my favorite TV series, HBO's Succession and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Apple TV Plus's Ted Lasso, didn't present any new episodes in 2022. But others did, and returned with style, so I salute them all. Barry, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver and The White Lotus on HBO. Hacks on HBO Max. Only Murders in the Building on Hulu. What We Do in the Shadows on FX. Documentary Now on IFC. Evil on Paramount Plus. And yes, Saturday Night Live on NBC sometimes. In addition, there were some outstanding programs making their premieres this year. Severance on Apple TV Plus, The Old Man on FX, The Rehearsal on HBO, and some flat-out fun ones like Netflix's Wednesday and Disney Plus's She-Hulk Attorney at Law. As for my favorite TV moment of the year, these tend to be musical in nature. Early in the pandemic, there was the online salute to Stephen Sondheim. Last year, Disney Plus gave us the year's best program, the documentary miniseries The Beatles Get Back. A few years earlier, in 2018, James Corden's Carpool Karaoke special with Paul McCartney on CBS was another favorite TV treat. But my winner this year for favorite TV moment comes from HBO's recent special, The Howard Stern Interview, Bruce Springsteen. Basically, it's just a couple of cameras rolling during an extended 2 hours plus Sirius XM conversation between the two icons, a radio show with a video simulcast. Their discussion is rambling and unpredictable, but those are compliments, not complaints. Bruce jumps around from guitar to piano as they talk, and their talk itself is riveting. As when Howard asks if Bruce's lengthy onstage shows may be a reflection of something deeper. Bruce agrees immediately.
People say, gee, how can you play so long? I say, no, my problem is stopping. I don't have a problem starting and playing.
Right.
I have a problem stopping because I was using it. I don't know how to get into it, but it was a purification ritual for me.
What do you mean?
Well, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and so you grew up with a lot of sin and original sin, and life and ritual is all about rituals of purification, of cleaning out your soul and your mind. And a certain amount of that is good for you, you know. If you take it to an extreme, it's like anything else, you know, it becomes your master. So my interest with my work was I wanted my work to be my work and my pleasure. I did not want it to be my master.
This hybrid radio and TV format, the Howard Stern Interview, should be replicated next year and beyond, maybe on a quarterly basis. He can attract the guests worth listening to, whether they're artists or in some other field, and in such a lengthy, unstructured format, can get them to reveal an awful lot. The Howard Stern Interview Bruce Springsteen was this year's TV treasure, and I want more.
David Bianculli is a professor of television studies at Rowan University. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, my guest will be Rachel Maddow. We'll talk about her new podcast series, Ultra, which reports on the little-known story of plots to overthrow the American government, aided by Hitler's government, in the days leading up to World War II. The story involves a Nazi agent in the U.S. who colluded with members of Congress, including ghostwriting their speeches. I hope you'll join us.